Thank you, Caitlin and Michelle. Awesome. Music was good tonight, and I think the music that we have heard, the words that we've sung and are helping encourage each other with tonight are the same words that's going to help us understand the truth of God's word here tonight. As we jump in here, understanding my identity in Christ. Do we have that slide? There we go. My identity in Christ. This is the theme. At least this is what I've seen as the theme throughout Ephesians. We've seen a lot that has happened because we are in Christ. For those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, there's a ton of things that change for an individual. Does anybody want to be brave and say something that changes based on being in Christ that we've seen already in Ephesians? Desires change. Yeah. Because all of a sudden we went from being dead to alive. Something changed in us. We think differently. We do differently. We say differently. What about adopted? We are adopted in Christ. We have a new name written down in heaven. And we sing about that, don't we? We are chosen. Some people run from that, but I'm excited. He chose me. He chose me. And that was before I could even do anything. He chose me. Before I can mess it up, he chose me. That's exciting, right? And it's nothing that I have done. It's all his grace. It's all his grace. And it's been a consistent truth that has been applied all throughout this. Anything else? Access to God. In fact, we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Access to God. I now have access to him because I am in Christ. This is for those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. What about everything that our society says, should I identify, we get to shed? As far as our job, no longer identified by that. Our skin color. How much money we make. Whether we're a Jew or not. You get what I'm saying? This all comes from the last passage that we jumped into. And understanding God's family, what other people say keeps me from certain benefits. Jesus says, that's it. Everybody's one. Everybody's united in Christ. We all come together. In fact, that is his plan. Everything will be united in Christ one day, ultimately, in his name, in the end. So as we jump into this tonight, we're going to jump into a purposed rabbit trail. A purposed rabbit trail. Now, many times when you think of a rabbit trail, you think negatively, right? So, I've heard some of you communicate your evil youth and how you had a teacher back in the day where you knew that if you got them on a specific subject, you could keep them on that specific subject for the entire class time. Anybody want to confess their sin tonight? Okay, all right, good. All right. There was one time I heard about a Bible college professor out west. I won't tell you the school because I don't want you to judge. But there were some students there that said that this specific professor, you could start a conversation on aliens and he would lose the entire class time. He would talk about aliens the entire time. I don't know how you could talk about something that doesn't exist. Okay, maybe I just separated from a few of you. I don't know. Maybe you're on that line. I hope you're not the ones that were trying to invade that place out there, you know, out west at one point. I think that was just my generation that was doing stupid stuff. But anyway, all right, we understand that rabbit trails can get us down in a negative way to the detriment of the teacher and the one that is being taught. Because even though in your evil youth you decided to do that with your teacher, you gain nothing from that class period. Correct? You are not on topic. You are not on the line where he was trying or she was trying to get you to help you understand and be prepared for your test. Correct? But there are some rabbit trails that are beneficial. Why? Because at times, we might not understand a certain subject. It's just like whenever you are... let's just use tonight, for example, okay? I've been preaching through Ephesians since the beginning of the year. Some of you, maybe this is your first night. Some of you skipped a few. And you don't know what was some of the things that people mentioned earlier that we have in Christ. And so it's helpful to backtrack a little bit to make sure that you get what you might have missed. You see, that rabbit trail was purposed. Maybe some understanding that maybe this is a big topic, an in-depth topic, that maybe you just need a rerun through in understanding. Okay, can you describe a few words in there that you just mentioned that were just way over my head? I need you to be able to back up for a moment. And this is exactly what Paul does in this passage. He starts off in verse 1 and then pauses everything, and then he's going to start back up in verse 14. But what we're going to be handling is that verses 1 through 13 tonight and that rabbit trail and see if it is actually important, which, by the way, it is important for us to be able to understand. So this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to read right through verses 1 through 13, and we'll see how well you do with understanding this passage. So, verse 1, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among you, the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." All right, can anybody explain what just happened? Have you ever read your scripture like that? And said, done? And you moved on? I think some of us have been there, right? I had to read through this over and over and over and over, and it just keeps on going over and over. And then finally I got, whoa, this is a rabbit trail. I had to seek the context of the passage and understanding what Paul is trying to present here. And when we actually figure out what Paul's presenting, it's exciting. It's amazing. You can step back and come to this conclusion where he says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not my tribulations for you." Don't become discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Don't give up because of the sufferings that I have for you. Say, wait a minute. Shouldn't we be going to Paul and saying, don't give up? In all that you've dealt with, don't give up. Okay, how does he come to this conclusion? Where is he getting this perspective? Where is it coming from? Well, that is going to be coming from this here tonight. We're going to go back to verse number 1. I think this is interesting. It says, "For this cause," what cause? Does anybody know? What do you have to do? You have to go backwards. You have to go back into the context and see why he is stating what he is stating. He says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." What in the world is he saying? He's a prisoner of Jesus Christ? I don't know if I want to become a part of that kind of a cult. Right? Because that's a thought that you're going to get. He's a prisoner. He's held against his will, doing whatever Christ wants him to do. Maybe he doesn't even want to do what he's doing. He's held at spear point. Yes, that was a culture thing. We can't say gunpoint back then. He didn't have a gun, all right? So, but he's held against his will. Is that what he's saying? What's going on here? For this cause. What cause? He goes back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, where he's referencing these topics as he's going along, and even more so as he's dealt with the beginning of his letter. It says in Ephesians 1, 9, it says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself." His will, His purpose, His pleasure. He's helping us know what that is. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. All the believers that are in Christ, He's going to gather them together, unified, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Looking forward, Pastor referenced this morning, looking forward to what we have in Christ, our eternal destiny right there. That's our inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. He goes on in more unity in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. It says there, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, that's what you were identified as, you were separated from the Jews, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. So the Jews cast you out because of the fact that you were not identified with God's people. That which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. Before, you were without Jesus, you didn't have Him, you were separated, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenant of promise. You didn't get to take part in that promise at that point and what God gives. You had no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The sacrifice of Jesus is what brings you near, is what takes away that alienation. There's unity. There's no longer Gentile and Jew. In Christ, you are one. And He comes in and He says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. What's he talking about there? He's introducing himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Ironically, at this point, he is imprisoned by Rome. So why didn't he say, I am a prisoner of Rome because of the Gentiles? Because of the Jewish hierarchy, because of whoever sent them there, because of Caesar himself, whatever it might be that has put him where he's at. No, ironically, in this moment, he's saying, Christ Jesus, I am a prisoner of Him. Where's he coming from? There's a purpose for it, and we'll get to it at the end. Ooh, dun, 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 it's coming. Let's jump into Paul's stewardship. What's going on here? In verses 2 through 4, we start out in Ephesians 3, 2 through 4. It says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, you word. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in, I don't want to go that far. Let's stop there. There's a lot that's there, okay? So when we jump into this, what is he talking about? What is he talking about in this term dispensation? If ye have heard of the dispensation, just in case you've heard, what is dispensation? It's the stewardship. That's what it means. That's what the term means. It's stewardship, the administration of the grace of God. If you've heard of this stewardship of the grace that I don't deserve, but God gives to me for the purpose of you. So just in the same sense of if we were to take this, okay, God has, let's just do this. You'll be excited. Let's say God has given me $100,000. Do I deserve it? No way. but he gives me $100,000, and I turn around and I serve you with that $100,000. Are you excited?
It should be. Yeah.
But it's not anything of me in that moment. It's everything that God has given, but he is stewarding and administrating the grace that God gives. What does that come back to? What God gives to us in our grace, in every little bit of grace that he gives, we must be stewarding that for him. He said, well, I thought it was for the Gentiles. Ultimately, it's for the purpose of him. And you'll see that as we go along. But he was administering, he was stewarding this grace towards the Gentiles. It says how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. So God revealed to me a mystery, a question mark. As I wrote to you beforehand, he says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So I am writing to you so that you know how I got the answer to this mystery. I want you to know the source of the info. I want you to know the authority behind this speaking, this truth that I'm laying out for you. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to teach these people, hey, here's the truth. This is what God's put on display. This is what God has handed to me, and now I'm trying to hand this knowledge over to you. It says in verse 5, it says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So people didn't know about this before. We didn't understand that the Gentiles were going to be grafted in. We didn't understand that. It was focused solely on the people of God with a few interspersed throughout. You see Ruth, you see Rahab, you see several Gentiles interspersed, but they're really not heavily focused on. The focus is primarily Israel. And so really they didn't even know, but now, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, this is how this truth is getting to you. It's found through the messengers of God, the sent ones of God. This is how you know it's truth. The apostles, as they are told by God, led by the Holy Spirit to give this to you, this is what they are giving. This is truth. You can trust in this. Verse number 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. This is the mystery. This is what people didn't totally understand, and why Jews are having such a problem, especially looking at the Gentiles and saying, well, you're not of the circumcised. You're not a part of the in crowd. You're strangers. You're aliens. And yeah, we're supposed to be nice to you according to Old Testament law, sure. But yet you are not on the in. And in fact, even in the temple, there was a certain area for the Gentiles. And then there was a certain area that you could go farther in for the Jews. And even as last time we talked about how that was torn, Jesus tore it off. It's no longer there. The Gentiles are able to partake because of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, listen, that the Gentiles, this is a mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, they should be fellow children of God, and they should be of the same body. We're working together and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That is the only way that you are able to partake, is if it's in Christ by the gospel. There is no back door in. Nothing. There's no sneaking in to God's grace. It's given by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's the ticket. There's no cutting the barbed wire fence, okay? It is only by the way that God has allowed. And he's opened this up, this mystery that Paul gets to be a part of. It says in verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm also a minister of the mystery that has been presented. In fact, you will see throughout Acts where Paul has expanded in the ministry to the Gentiles, making sure that they hear the gospel. He wants them to be able to know, listen, Jesus is for you. Jesus is for you. And I get to tell everyone about it. This is God's grace given unto me by the effectual working of his power. God's way works. His effectual power. Have you ever had an idea for a solution and it fell completely short of what you needed it to do? Sometimes in my mind, I come up with things. Yes, I know you're questioning whether I am able to think, but yes, I try. Okay. The last couple of years, we have tried to decorate in the auditorium for VBS, Vacation Bible School. And on Saturday, it looks absolutely gorgeous. But by Saturday, an hour later, it doesn't look so gorgeous. Okay, it looked cool. In the beginning, we had vines hanging from everywhere. And people even separated from me because I made them make so many vines. I mean, it was that bad. They're like, no more vines. And you know what the theme is for this year? The jungle. More vines. All right, here we go. They're going to separate from me again. All right, I need new teenagers, okay? All right, but you know what? We put them up. We hang them up. We had balloons that we filled up with helium, and we had them taped to the different pews. And you know what happened? Sunday morning, this always happens to me. It happened up at Dayton. It happens here. Sunday morning before church, I have to go around and fix everything that's fallen. And that's when I start singing, "This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made." Aren't you thankful that God's grace works? Because of the very fact that we will always fall short of the glory of God. But his grace overcomes that. What Jesus has done on the cross overcomes that. It actually saves people. Listen, folks, we got to be committed to this. Our next generation needs to know it works. God works. I'll just do this. You know how I joke around about my son being a pagan? I can't say that anymore. Last Sunday night, my son put his faith in Jesus Christ. God works. I want my children to know that his grace is good enough. To be able to experience that and know that this is a life worth living. I want our teens to be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. That when their world is rocked by their relationships that are around them and they are falling completely on their face, God is there to be able to help them back up. God's grace works. And this is what's so important for us to be able to step back and grasp as he's working through this and telling you about all that God has called him to. I get to be a part of God's plan, folks. This is his excitement. He says, listen, I get to be a part of God's work. It has effect. This is my mission that he has set me on, that I am stewarding. I get to wake up every single day, even in jail, to be able to minister the grace of God to those that are around me. I get to be responsible for God's message, for God's message and for God's plan. I get to be responsible for that. I get to be responsible for God's power. You mean making God's plan work? No, God's in charge of that. I just get to tell people about it and be a part of it. God's grace at work. This is what he's excited about. This is what he's been given stewardship. He gets to go and let Gentiles know that you can be in. You can be on his team. You could be a child of God. You could be fellow heirs. You could be partakers of the promise. You get to be saved. This is what he gets to steward. But is it for Paul's purpose? No way. Here's where we see it's God's purpose. It's God's eternal purpose. And this is where he's tracking down this rabbit trail. He comes to verse 8 and it says, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not because I am super Paul. It's because Jesus is super Jesus and I get to be on his team. He's allowed me to be a part of it. It's the grace that's given that I should preach among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. I get to be a part of his plan. I get to preach. I get to proclaim the goodness of God. And you will never, never complete your understanding of Jesus. He's that big. He is that awesome. He's that glorious. It is not like you can put him in Wikipedia and just be able to search and say, there it is. I understand everything about his incomprehensibility. You realize how much of an oxymoron that is? We get to take God to others. This is what he's pumped about. It goes on in verse 9, and it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What is this unity? I get to help people understand this unity that we have in Christ, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. It's been protected. It's been sheltered, okay? From the very beginning, this has been sheltered, who created all things by Jesus Christ. What's that tell you? He's sovereign God. He's creator of it all. He can hide it from the very beginning. He has the power to be able to do so. It goes on in verse 10, and it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You say, this is such a unique verse. I don't understand it. This is out there. You want to know what it's talking about? Listen, to the intent, when God's working in his plan from the very beginning, how he works through the people that he's called, his church, how he works through them and grows them and shows them this unity that's coming together, the principalities and powers in heavenly places, that's the good angelic beings and the bad angelic beings, the fallen angels and the regular angels. They get to watch and see God's plan coming to fruition through the church. The Pentecost was like their Super Bowl. Can you imagine the angels? Can I just do this for a second? Can you imagine the angels? The good ones. 3,000 people just turned to Christ. Did you see them speaking Spanish and Portuguese and Aramaic all in the same thing? Did you see what's going on there? And the Holy Spirit out work and people are coming to Christ and things are changing. And it doesn't make any sense because all these people who were separated before because of their sin, because of their skin color and their money and their jobs and whether they're slave or master or whether they're male and female, they've all come together because of Jesus. And they're all bringing everything together to help one another and to weep when others weep and to rejoice when others are rejoicing. Wow! And the fallen angels, we lost another one. Maybe God's plan is going to work. 3,000? Are you kidding me? We are going to lose this game. The spiritual realm is watching God's masterpiece unfold, his painting unfold to his glory. It says where? Well, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. From the very beginning, he purposed Jesus to do what he's done. It's his plan. It's his purpose. And because of that, in Christ Jesus, notice that phrase there again, in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, again, in Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Because of Christ, I now have access to God. Folks, for those who are in Christ, we get to stand before God. And be thankful. That's a major change for us, because everybody's going to stand before God one day. And Paul is on this mission to make sure as many people get to stand before God and be bold because of Christ. Be thankful because of Christ. Have access because of Christ. This is his mission. So then we back up and we go to back to verse number 1. It says, this was God's plan. I've been made responsible for it. This is what God's called me to. I'm jumping in. I'm all in. I'm in the deep end. He says this, for this cause, all this unity, all this preaching the gospel, this oneness with Christ, this oneness with other believers, all this being chosen and being sealed and having this inheritance and all these things, I get to be a part of this. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, you want to know why I'm a prisoner in Rome? Because God deemed it the best place for me to be able to preach the gospel. It's his plan. I'm here for you Gentiles. I want to make sure that you know the truth, that you know how the truth can set you free, and this is a part of his plan. And so while I may be suffering, don't you worry. I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you. It's just God's plan. I'm holding this mystery and taking it to whoever I can. This is awesome. God has placed me where I am so that I can minister according to his plan. This is his sovereignty in my moment right now where I'm at in Illinois. Why has God placed you in Illinois? I know I've been asking God that same question for years, right? But honestly, we have to keep reminding ourselves of this. God has placed us where he has placed us for his purpose. And if we believe that God is sovereign, we're going to be thankful that he's brought me to a place where I can be the best potential for God's glory. Why do you work where you work? Because it's a job and I have to make a paycheck. No, you get to be a light where God's called you to be a light. And even in the suffering, when that manager is an absolute jerk, Now, do not bring the suffering upon yourself, okay? That's just fooey on you at that point. But if you are doing what is right in God's name, bringing him glory, and that manager is just an absolute jerk, you understand, listen, God, you brought me here, and you'll equip me for what you brought me to. And instead of coming together and, oh man, did you know that we had to live in Illinois for one more week this past week? Oh. Watch the news. I found out news isn't always so good for me. I used to listen to talk radio all the time. All the time. And I was up on the times. But I was also down on the times. Because it's constant negativity from people that I agree with all the time. No gospel. No hope. God has called me where I'm at to serve. With my family, with our team, in our school district, in our town, in our county, in our little place in the world, God has called us, and God knows exactly where we're at. There's not a shadow upon us. He's like, oh, I just have no idea what Taylor is dealing with today. I have to remind myself that God's got this. And he's put me here so that others can know of the goodness of God. He's given me grace to be able to steward so that others can know the goodness of God. So am I doing that? Or am I whining in my suffering? We sing about the goodness of God. Does Jesus care? He cares. He's sovereign. Let's trust in that sovereignty. And let's steward that grace that he gives us. God, we thank you so much for your truth that you put on display tonight. And this was a good rabbit trail. This was a good rabbit trail that we can rest in. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. But God, I've got a long ways to go to turn around and say I'm thankful for my sufferings. Don't worry about me. God, I need to consistently come back to this truth of you are giving grace that I get to steward. And even the suffering is a part of your plan to help me depend on you, but also to help others see that your joy overcomes circumstances. God, you know. Help me to always come back to the fact that you know. You equip. You give power. Your power works. It's exciting. This is something to hand off to the next generation to be able to preach and proclaim. God, help us to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, let's just take a few moments. Listen.